Yes, it's Health Naturally, and I'm joined by the wonderful Dennis Stewart to put a smile on our faces today. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good.
That's good.
Better for seeing you.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Always lovely. Now, Dennis, last week you started to talk about ordinary herbs that could be useful in treating common conditions that some women experience. And you spoke about sage for hot flushes and perspiration. You want to continue on with this topic today, but firstly, you've got some exciting information arising from your discussion on the herb golden seal a few weeks ago.
Look, it is very exciting and I could talk about it all day, but listeners will remember quite a few weeks ago we did a session in which we discussed the benefits of the famous but rare American herb golden seal. And as a result, a couple of listeners contacted me and my wife particularly wanting to know where they could get information on growing the herb, where they could get literature, where there were contacts, if they could get seeds or plants. And as a result of that, my wife did some research because about 25, maybe 30 years ago, in conjunction with the university, my school, Southern Cross Herbal School, conducted a seminar on the growing of golden seal. And it was conducted in conjunction with a remarkable man, Tony Hoseman, who, in my opinion, was the pioneer grower of golden seal in Australia, and he came up to the Arimba campus, and we spent a whole day there with a large audience talking about the herb and encouraging people to grow it, and that was it. Tony did mention at that stage the availability of some plants from him, but for all intents and purposes, we lost contact with Tony. I've got a lot older, and he's got a little bit older, but my wife contacted him recently. And he has gone from strength to strength. He's in Victoria, and he has written a book which is available and which my wife has purchased for our library and for a number of listeners. Listeners can get the book. It's entitled Golden Seal in Australia, Golden Seal in Australia and Other Potential Herb Crops, written by Tony Hoseman, H-O-S-E-M-A-N-S. If you go to Amazon, you can purchase it promptly and readily through Amazon, and Tony would be happy, I'm sure, to touch base with anyone interested in what he's doing down there, and he's started a whole network. I'm hoping that we will be able, early next year, to bring Tony up, and hopefully with connections that we have on the university, to get people involved, even within the university, hopefully, to support another seminar in which growers that are interested in this fascinating and lucrative crop can meet this famous man, this beautiful man who's a great singer, by the way. You never want to take him out to a restaurant because halfway through the meal he'll burst into singing, but that's beside the point. I mentioned that. I have no commercial interest in the book, even though my name is mentioned in the book as being associated with the university and participating in the seminar, but the book is unique, a unique, up-to-date Australian book written by a remarkable man, Tony Hoseman, Golden Seal in Australia and Other Potential Herb Crops. If listeners have difficulty making contact with the book, ring my rooms at New Lambton or contact my email or talk to my dear wife and we'll make sure that we can facilitate what you want. There you go.
Okay.
And that's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting.
It is.
Got Jamie from Karooa on the line. Hi, Jamie. How can we help?
It was I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I want to know if there's anything natural I could take besides the jardiniment I'm using.
Okay. Jamie, obviously with this condition, you must be under the control of your GP and using medication that has been prescribed for it. There are a few things that might be worthwhile utilising if you are type 2 that may assist in helping the condition not develop too much further and help you stay under good management using perhaps the minimum amount of medication that your doctor wants you to be on. The first thing is this. There is a food that is used throughout the world and it's called bitter melon. Now, bitter melon is eaten almost all around in South Asia, in Southeast Asia, in South America, and it's readily available from our grocery stores, in our supermarkets. It's like a big cucumber with a ridge down the centre of it and on the sides of it. And it's there's plenty of information on how to prepare it. It's not difficult to prepare, but bitter melon is known for its potential to help manage blood sugar levels. And that's why it's used around the world as a medication, certainly in the early stages of type 2 diabetes, to lessen the drift upwards. So as a food, preferably as a food, you can also purchase it as a powder, or I suspect even as a capsule tablet, but try wherever possible to do it the natural way by using the food. You get it from Woolies or a good fruit shop or any of those places that stock fruit and vegetables. Get on the net and you see how easy it is to prepare. Eaten regularly, it may be useful to participate in helping control your blood sugar level. That's number one. That's number one. The second thing is this, and you've probably been told this by your GP, but in any case, it would be useful for you to make sure that you have a significant amount of soluble fibre in your diet. And your pharmacist would know, and your doctor would know what I'm talking about here. Fibre has the effect of lessening what we call spikes occurring in your blood sugar management. And there are preparations, particularly in the pharmacy, I won't mention brand names, but the pharmacist stocked the product, little satchels of a particular form of oat bran, where you take one satchel a day, and on the label you will see that it is good for helping manage some of the problems that can occur even with diabetes and medication. And what it does is lessen the spiking or the exceedingly high jump in blood sugar levels that can occur even with management. So by using this particular product, a little satchel a day, seeing it as medication based on oat bran, readily available from your pharmacist and dirt cheap, so to speak, that would be a useful thing also to bring into it. Now, the third thing is this, that in natural medicine, the herb that is used, well, around the world, but particularly again in South Asia, where a large percentage of the population can't afford medications that we can afford in a country like Australia, where we're blessed with a government that supports medication. Many other countries in the third world cannot afford the things that we take for granted. Here, a herb known as Gymnema silvestra, G-Y-M-N-E-M-A, Gymnema, G-Y-M-N-E-M-A, Gymnema silvestra. Again, Google and you'll find a mountain of information on it. If you can't, you can contact my rooms and I'll forward you some information free of charge. But if you get on the net, you'll find it. Now, that is a herb that is very, very useful in helping blood sugar management, and it would be advisable for you to mention what you intend to do to your GP so that if there is a quick reduction in your blood sugar level, which I would think unlikely because it would take a little while for it to do its job, if there were, your GP could monitor it and make sure that there was no sort of going too far, so to speak. But I've never found that. I've used Gymnema myself, and it's a very slow-acting herb, but very, very reliable, very well documented, very safe, so long as it is being taken in conjunction with a medical practitioner monitoring the process and you yourself taking your blood sugar levels regularly. I hope you are.
Yep. I am, yeah.
There are three things. I know a little bit about that myself. So go along that pathway. The food, bitter melon, adequate fibre, particularly soluble fibre, oat bran, I mentioned a product that has little satchels of it, and the use of the herb Gymnema silvestra, famous in South Asia, with a credible ability to help, put it that way, not cure, but help in controlling blood sugar elevation.
What about, I've been using a product called Simitona.
Serotonin?
Yeah, Simitonin, that's it.
Could you spell it?
Oh, it's
serotonin, isn't that like for sleeping?
It's cinnamon tonin.
Okay. Cinnamon is a food, obviously.
Yeah.
And there is significant evidence to suggest that the regular taking of a small amount of it. And by that I mean, you know, a teaspoonful, half a teaspoonful of it on a daily basis can have some moderate effect in helping control the elevation of blood sugar levels. It is a food. It's eaten. Obviously, people know what cinnamon is. One only has to use a small amount of it in conjunction with what I've already said and in conjunction with the eating of bitter melon. I think you're on the right track to doing something yourself together with your good GP and making sure that your type 2 diabetes is under control.
Yeah, well, it's all bloody around the... Every time I take my blood level sugars, it's all around about 5.5, 6.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
I take one of those 7 tablets every day.
Yes.
It puts me jasmine. And also, I'm also on power pollen.
What was that?
I also take Nature Bee power pollen tablets, capsules.
Oh, okay. I'm not too sure about that. But the other ones I've mentioned... Have a credible reputation of being potentially beneficial.
Cool, and we have Mary on the line. Hi, Mary, you've got an issue with gout.
My partner does.
Mary, is he taking medication for it?
Yeah, he does when he has a flare-up.
Only when he has a flare-up. He's not taking allopurinol ongoingly?
He wants to start that, but, just waiting for the flare-ups to settle down.
Okay, I know a little bit about what he's going through. I've experienced gout myself in the past. So the acute management could be a little bit challenging without elaborating on what takes place. But within the mainstream, the medication based on allopurinol is popular and... And very, very useful. However, I have seen patients that have not done well on that medication. And I remember treating one chap in particular who's an outstanding case of where the other side of medicine, complementary medicine, alternative medicine, actually helped him greatly and allowed him to get on the aeroplane and go to Indonesia for a fishing trip, whereas prior to that he could hardly walk. And the clue was recommending that he go onto a preparation that incorporates a concentrated preparation of cherry. Now, cherry, if you Google it, will be shown to you to have a chemistry in it that is well known and useful for helping reduce levels of uric acid. In the old days, in some of the older texts that I've worked with, it was recommended that if one ate fresh cherries, say half a kilo every couple of days, that would contribute to reducing it. But now, with the knowledge that we have of the benefits, the potential benefits of cherry preparations, preparation called Gout Fighter, which is in the market, readily available, very, very safe. This is what I prescribed to this gentleman who was one of the worst cases I've ever seen of gout that was so stubborn that it wouldn't even respond to either the acute or the chronic management of it. He did so very well on that changed his whole attitude towards complementary medicine. So where people are looking for something natural to try, or if the prescribed medication is not appropriate for them, that they react to it despite its good reputation, well then look for medication that incorporates concentrated modern preparations of the extract of cherry. Cherry juice should be taken also regularly. You get it from the supermarket, get a good brand without too much sweetener in it. Supplements you're taking of a preparation in a tablet or capsule form. Most preparations, or I won't say most, but many preparations that have the extract of cherry in them also are accompanied by other extracts of herbs that are known also to be useful for managing gout problems. And one of those is celery seed extract. Now, we're not talking about eating celery. I love celery, but we're talking about celery seed, which is the medicinal component of it, which has a reputation defined in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia as being very good for gout. And when combined when combined with the extract of cherry, it forms, in my experience, a very useful preparation for people that are keen to try that natural way and stop the episodes occurring.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for your call, Mary. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. Next, we have Sue from Lambton on the line. Hi, Sue. How can we help?
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you, Sue.
What I wanted to ask about was the pineal gland in your brain. I read something recently that it gets calcified with... it's good for dementia and all that sort of stuff, but the fluoride in our water calcifies the pineal gland, which has the effect on somebody having dementia. Have you ever done any research on that sort of thing?
No, Sue, to be honest with you, I know very little about that.
Yeah,
All that I would say is that despite ongoing debate about fluoride, the reality of it is the benefit of it, particularly on oral health and particularly on teeth, is indisputable. Now, there may be a downside. I'm not disputing that or defending it. I drink ordinary water, which incorporates fluoride. I think I've got pretty good teeth, although I was well-managed here as a kid by a mother that made sure that we went along to see the dentist regularly when it was horrible to go to the dentist when I was a kid. But now, look, I know very little about the pineal gland. I'd be a little bit sceptical about that, Sue. There's a lot of crazy stuff floating around in some of the alternative literature, as there is in the mainstream literature.
In the same thing that I read, they also said that the Panax ginseng and ginkgo biloba, which you have said forever about, was excellent keeping dementia and all that.
Oh, well, I'd have to support that. There you go. So I'm perhaps living evidence of that because I don't think I'm in the early stages of dementia, although when I forget something, sometimes it's mentioned to me, you've got dementia. Well, no, and I take Panax regularly and use... the ginkgo biloba. I think ginkgo biloba, I would place my confidence in those and have great scepticism about relating the health of the pineal gland to, the unhealthy effects of fluoride on the pineal gland. I'd look at that very sceptical, Sue.
Thanks for your call, Sue. Thanks for calling. Next we have Tracy from Cessnock on the line. Hi, Tracy, how can we help you?
Oh, hello. How are you going?
Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Dennis. The reason I'm calling is on behalf of my son.
Yes.
He's 25.
Yes.
Very healthy. He looks after his health.
Yes.
But he works really hard.
Oh, sorry. You might have to turn your radio down, Tracy.
I don't have it. Oh, sorry. Yes. I was going to say it's not. I don't have it on.
We've got an echo.
Sorry about that. He's very healthy otherwise, but he catches colds and things easily, and he gets very sick when he does get those.
What sort of work does he do, Tracy?
But he works really hard,
Okay. Look, has he had glandular fever?
Just a minute. Are you there?
Yes. Yep. Can you hear?
I can hear you now. I'm sorry.
Has he had glandular fever?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think he's ever been diagnosed with having that. But
the only reason I ask that is that, in my experience over many years, sometimes what we call an immune system that's perhaps not doing as well as what we'd like it to do, is reflective of having experienced a pretty severe viral infection along the way.
He could have.
What I would suggest here, you hear me mention this frequently, I am not aware of anything. This is a big call for me because I've been practicing this system and teaching it and experimenting with it all my life. I have not used anything in my professional career that is so successful in supporting one's resistance, I'll use that term, in supporting one's resistance to recurring, particularly recurring viral infections. I've not known anything that's better than the Astragalus 8 formulation. Now, there's a
How do you spell that, Dennis?
Astra, A-S-T-R-8, Astra, I'm sorry, A-S-T-R-A-G-A-L-U-S, Astragalus 8. That's the name of the formula, which is known around the world, and I was privileged as a result of my own research to introduce it into Australia probably 30-odd years ago, and it has sustained its reputation. I prefer, my preference is to use a liquid preparation, which in Cessnock would be available from Bowen's Clinic, and that preparation, even in Cessnock, where I'm happy to live, by the way.
Reckon it's the best,
regional city. Best regional city in New South Wales, listeners. So, but if you're able to get it there and the literature that goes with it. We used to have a health food store in Cessnock years ago. We need one there, although to be fair, our health food stores do a great job, particularly the little one in West Cessnock that I go to. So the Astragalus 8 formula, get it from Bowen's because the information on it, many papers that I've written on it, will bear testimony that it's worthwhile giving a go. He's not drinking too much?
He doesn't drink at all.
Oh, okay, that's in his favour.
He's eating
pretty well. That's the shot. Now, look, this should pick him up.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if it didn't, Tracy.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate that, Dennis.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy. Bye. We've got Jenny from Abernethy on the line. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for holding. How can we help you?
Oh, darling, just want to ask Dennis, is there something I can take till I go and see a surgeon for a meniscus tear?
Yes. When do you have surgery, Jenny?
Don't know. They haven't even sent me to a specialist yet, Dennis.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Yes,
okay,
dear,
look,
dear, dear.
It's a long shot. But what I'll do for you, the preparation that you would have heard me talk about over the years, glucosamine-based products known as Glucosaplex, I'll make sure that one of those is sent to you free of charge to see how you go with that. If that helps you, well, then you can repeat it by going in.
If it helps me?
Yep, you can then...
I can find you and give you a kick.
Oh, well, that would be worthwhile too. I never knock one of those back.
You'll
need to hang on there and give the receptionist your address so that we can get it to you. I know Abernethy pretty well, actually, but if you give her the address, I'll get my clinic in Cessnock or here in New Lambton to send you one free of charge. I make no guarantees because obviously you're lining up for a surgery, but it might just take the edge off it for you.
I hope so. Okay. I was just talking to your receptionist.
Oh, yes.
And she had one, and they done a keyhole surgery for her.
Yes.
And she's terrific.
Well, there you go.
She was on holiday.
Where are you having your procedure done?
They haven't even mentioned the procedure yet, Dennis.
Oh, okay.
I've been like this for about 6 months.
So good. Have you expressed the urgency to your GP?
I'm going to see him on Monday and he will be getting a little blast
from
the park.
that's pretty straight Coalfields language.
You get a blast, all right.
Okay. All right. Well, see how you go with...
And what was the name of that stuff?
I'll get it to you. Glucosaplex.
Thanks,
it to you.
Jenny. I'll pop you on hold and Sally can grab your details. Thank you.
No.
Okay. I'm waiting for that kiss.
Got a Sylvia on the line from Pindyma. Sylvia, you've got some questions for Dennis?
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Sylvia.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Is it nice up where you are?
Beautiful.
I think it would be.
Yeah. My husband's had a brain bleed last year prior to heart surgery.
Yes.
So it was only an area of the brain that affects his short-term memory.
Yes.
And I've been trying to get something. He's actually getting very bad with a short-term memory.
Okay.
So I'm trying to work out what... I did have him on some ginkgo biloba for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
They discharged him from hospital with thiamine, vitamin B1.
Yes.
Which we're having those two tablets once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wondered, and you mentioned Panac that you're on.
Panac. And I can't break, you might have, can't remember Panac. It's not...
Just this morning, or well, maybe it wasn't Panac. Maybe it was spelled pronounced some other way, along with your ginkgo biloba.
Yeah, so that was the other one, I think, was, I'm just trying to put it in perspective there, a ginseng, Panax ginseng. Panax ginseng.
Ah, okay.
But with that condition that your husband's struggling with, the use of the ginkgo, to my way of thinking, would be a good selection, but the problem with the ginkgo is twofold, that one has to be a little bit cautious about using it where there has been somewhat of a history of hemorrhage or bleeding,
right.
Because it does have, so it's said, I've never seen this and the literature's a little bit questionable on it, it has been stated that it does have a potential to interact with anti-clotting medication. I've never seen that, and
right.
I've prescribed a lot of it, but he'd be on that.
Yeah.
Okay. But I've never seen that, but the indication for that condition is that ginkgo would be a very worthwhile preparation to consider in the right dosage. A lot of people get very little benefit from ginkgo because they prescribe it in a dose that is far, far too low. There, if one is going to use it in a clinical way, one should work with the dosage that is relative to it, and your doctor or your therapist or the literature would tell you what an optimum dose would be. And
right.
Secondly, you would have to run it past his medical managers so that they would be okay about his taking it. The fact that you have used it in the past is in your favour, but the dose is critical if you're going to get a benefit from it. But
okay.
And the other thing with the ginkgo is, and this is a factor also that people don't appreciate, the ginkgo in the clinical trials that have been done on it, and there have been plenty that have been done on it in the European literature, demonstrate that it is not an agent that reflects itself immediately, that it tends to grow on you, so to speak, that it's a long-term usage.
Yeah.
And I mean long term, you know, it could be 6, 7, 8, 9 months before
right.
you get anywhere. And again, go to the net and look for examples of results using it. There would be information there if you sourced it in the right way. Just punch in ginkgo biloba, recommended dose for dementia, length of time.
Well, he hasn't got dementia, I don't think.
Okay.
It's only short-term memory loss from the brain bleed.
Well, that's even further in his favour.
Because yeah.
So I would say that you perhaps haven't exhausted the possibility of the ginkgo. There are other things, but being a herbalist and knowing a lot about this preparation, I brought it into Australia and gave the first lectures on it at Blackmore's in Balgala many years ago. The clue is, though, A, make sure that the condition is relative to the potential benefits of the ginkgo, and it would seem that it is. Make sure that it's not going to clash with the anticoagulant medication you're taking. I've never seen that happen. Here and there in the literature, there's that warning, but I've never seen it happen. If you decide to run with it, it must be under medical supervision in the right dose. And I suspect you've been using it in a low dosage and persevered with over a longer period of time.
Thank you so much for your call, Sylvia. Next on the line, we've got Dalwin from Warners Bay. Hi, Dalwin. Are you there? How can we help you?
Thank you. Yes, I am. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Dalwin. How can we help you?
I've got a problem regarding loss of appetite. I've lost it. And lost quite a bit of weight.
Oh dear!
And just the feeling, it's not exactly like refluxes, but it's just a burping and my stomach doesn't want to, you know, work properly for me, apparently.
Delwyn, have you had it investigated?
Yes. Well, okay. I've just had a CAT scan with infusion, which went right through my stomach. Everything is supposed to be perfect.
Okay.
I've diagnosed myself saying, I think, and I've actually, where you used to be in Warners Bay here, I used to buy stuff from you, but once you left, there's another one there, and I bought stuff called a slippery elm.
Oh, slippery elm, yes. Yes.
But, that's the only other thing. But my doctor, I've had a couple of two or three doctors
Good.
Look at, and they cannot find really what is the problem.
How long have you been struggling with it?
Well, I think really personally since the first COVID. When the first COVID hit,
Richard COVID.
This has been a similar type thing.
Yes,
and
yes.
But anyway, like as though it's long COVID, but the COVID just cut my throat, and you know, like I mean, I had an awful throat for ages and whatever, and it wasn't good. But when I'm sitting here talking to you, Dennis, I feel on top of the world.
Well, there you go.
But it just comes back, like, and it just attacks me at times and whatever, and it's just a mongrel feeling, you know, like.
Well, what I would suggest you consider is first of all using some what are called digestive enzymes.
Digestive
enzymes. They're harmless substances and they're available from your health food store at Warners Bay.
Yeah.
That would be a starting base to try to rekindle some chemistry in your upper gut that's associated with appetite.
Yeah.
The second thing that I would suggest is that you start using and drink regularly some chamomile tea.
Chamomile.
Now, don't underestimate the herb chamomile. It's the most popular gastrointestinal herb used in Europe for multiple of functional conditions of the gut. It's not just a pleasant tea to take before bed. It's a medicinal preparation made famous in the German literature by Dr. Rudolf Weiss. I would suggest what you do is use some chamomile tea, a couple of cups during the day, and in order to address the burping, intersperse the chamomile tea drinking with one or two cups of peppermint tea.
Peppermint tea.
Those two herbs, I come back to it, are foundational remedies for what's called functional conditions of the gut. That is where there's no known cause, where the investigation has cleared everything, the condition is functional. And at the same time, make sure you're taking powdered slippery elm.
It is powdered,
A teaspoonful, a couple of times a day.
Well, it tells you half a teaspoon on
I'd go a bit further than that. If you're going to get any benefit, in my opinion, you've got to push it up a bit.
Put more right out.
That's what I'd suggest you do as a starting base.
Yeah, fair enough.
That should kick on.
So chamomile is chamomile?
Yeah, chamomile. Chamomile tea, get a good... Go down to your health food store, pay a bit extra for the best quality chamomile tea.
Yeah.
Even if it comes in tea bags, it's great. Mm-hmm. Say two or three cups a day and a couple of cups of peppermint with your slippery elm and your digestive enzymes. That should start things.
Should get things working.
See how you go, Darwin.
Good luck.
I empathise with you on
Thank
that.
Thank you, very kind.
Thanks for your call. Okay.
We're almost out of time, Dennis. We've hardly had a chance to talk about the women's problems today.
Well, I just want to say, but I mentioned this to you before we actually got into the program, with reference to sage, we spoke last week about its benefits in dealing with flushing and perspirational problems, particularly during what's called the change or the menopause. But sage has got other properties, one of which is it's an excellent mouthwash for mouth ulcers. It's got a very astringent antimicrobial chemistry, and this was something that was brought to my attention yesterday where I prescribed it for a long-term patient of mine who presented with a mouth that was very distressed with what we call geographical tongue and ulcerative conditions. Sage immediately came into my mind where it is indicated for that oral symptomatology. So the starting base for people that get, say, recurrent mouth ulcers, mouthwash of sage, a good starting base.
And you were saying sage tea, put it in a tea?
Yeah, just make a tea of it. This we don't have to be locked into expensive herbal products. I get distressed. The retail industry mightn't like me saying this, but I get distressed with the elevation in cost of many products that are in our health food stores and pharmacies. Many of my patients can't afford them, and increasingly Australians are going to balk. Now, it's not necessarily the retailer's fault. It's the price of starting material and the manufacture. But what I've set my sights to do is to simplify herbal medicine as much as possible and get people back to using the herb in as simple a form as possible, where you can frequently get a good result, if not better.
Well, hopefully all the women out there will be
very happy to hear that. Well, sage tea is pretty inexpensive, isn't it?
Get on the sage tea right now. Dennis Stewart, it has been a pleasure, and hopefully we can get more. Continue talking about this topic next week.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.